Masechet Baba Kama Dafnon Zayin Itmar Shomer Aveda Rabba Amar Keshomer Chinam Dame Rav Yosef Amar Keshomer Sachar Dame. Very interesting controversy. If I find a lost object, and so now I take it into my house and I'm going to be responsible until someone comes and the owner is identified and I'll return it to him. In the meantime, while I am Shomer, while I am watching that lost item, what is the level of my responsibility? Rabba says, it's a lower level, like a Shomer Chinam. After all, I'm doing the person a favor. I don't get any benefit from it. He's not going to pay me for watching over the item in the meantime. If it is an animal, let's say, then I do have to feed it. I mean, there's significant work in taking care of an animal. So then the owner, when he comes, he'll pay me for the food that I gave it. He can, you know, reimburse me. But I don't get any money out of it. I don't get a salary for that time that I put in. I'm doing a good deed. And so therefore, it makes more sense that I should have the same level of responsibility as a Shomer Chinam, who also is doing a favor and watching something for someone else. A Shomer Chinam does not have to pay if an item gets lost or stolen. While I'm holding on to this item for the person that owns it that's lost, if I lose it myself or it gets stolen, I shouldn't be responsible. That's Rabba. Rav Yosef, however, says, no, I am a Shomer Sachad. It's like I'm getting paid to watch it, even though I'm not actually getting paid. And therefore, I would be responsible if I lose it or steal it or get stolen. Not if I steal it. If it gets stolen, then I am responsible to pay the owner for it, even though I'm actually just doing a good deed to help him out, to help return the lost object. So Rabba makes more, we understand, I'm not getting paid. We have to explain Rav Yosef. We have two explanations. Rabba amar kishomer chinam dame mai hana'a kamatele. Rabba explains, yes, like a shomer chinam, because what benefit am I getting in watching this lost item in the meantime? Again, I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting benefit. Rav Yosef amar kishomer sachar dame bahi hana'a de la ba'ya limit. Rav Yosef says, indeed, I'm like a paid watchman because I have benefit that I don't have to give bread to a poor person. The idea is that ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. If I'm involved in one mitzvah, I don't have to go and do another mitzvah. I'm involved in taking care of this lost item. Maybe it's some animals and I have to go and have to feed them and take care of them and all that. In the meantime, a poor person knocks at the door to because he's hungry. I don't have to give bread to the poor person because I'm involved in a different mitzvah. I don't have to stop one mitzvah, what I'm doing, in order to attend to another mitzvah. So therefore, there is some benefit. I save on a piece of bread, and therefore I am getting benefit, and therefore I have a higher level of responsibility, like a shomer sachar. That's one interpretation. The second one, ika demefashe hachi, Rav Yosef amar ke shomer sachar dameh, kevan derachamana sha'bedeh be'al korcheh, hilka ke shomer sachar dameh. Rav Yosef says, or a different reason why that I'm like a Shomer Sachar, because the Torah itself, right, Hashem himself obligates me against my will. If I come upon some item, an animal wandering around or some wallet on the floor or something, I am obligated to take it home, take care of it, and search for the owner and verify that that's the proper owner. Since it's an obligation of the Torah, that's the same as an obligation that I take upon myself and get paid for. So just like if I get paid for it, I have to do it and have to do a really good job and have a high level of liability. Here, you know, he's not getting paid for it, but he's obligated from the Torah, and that also makes him a high level, gives him a high level of obligation, like as if he's getting paid. Okay, good. Now we're going to have some challenges one way, and then some challenges the other way. Siman hechazira le'olam hasheb chaya amarta nishbad niskad. So we have a mnemonic to remember the following challenges, and we start with the first one. Itebe rabba Rav Yosef le rabba hechazira. See, that's the first one on the list of mnemonics, hechazira. So Rav Yosef is challenging Rabba. Rav Yosef said it's shomer sachar. He's challenging the view that says shomer shomer chinam. From the following braita, chazal makom sheir ena no chayav litapel ba. Nigneva o abda chayav be'acharayuta. Ma nigneva o abda lav nigneva beto ve'abda mi beto. If I found an item. Okay, and then I put it in a place where the owner will see it, right? This is a good idea. Sometimes you see a phone somewhere, and so if I take it and take it home, so, okay, it won't get stolen, but the owner won't be able to find it. So sometimes it's a good idea, actually, to put it back where it was lost, and the owner will come back there, or put it in a place where I know that lots of people go back and forth, and that way the owner will see it. So if I take it, if I find this phone, I look for any names on it, I don't see any names, so I put it in a place where I think the owner is likely to see it, then I am no longer obligated to deal with it. I'm no longer responsible for it. I put it in a good spot. If it gets stolen or is lost, then I am responsible for it. So what is this case? What is the second case of when I am responsible when if it gets stolen or lost? Isn't that talking about if I keep it in my house? In other words, if I put it in a public place where he's like, I can see it, okay, then I'm not responsible for it. But if I bring it into my house and I'm holding onto my house and it gets lost or stolen from my house, then I am liable. So who's liable if it gets lost or stolen? That's a shomer sachar. This proves that this is a shomer sachar, not a shomer chinam challenge to Rabbah. Rabbah answers, la mimakom shechizira. No, it means if it gets lost or stolen from that public place that I put it, that I return it to. That's where it gets. If it's in my house, I would not be responsible because I am a shomer chinam. This is when I'm put in a public spot. See, even the shomer chinam is responsible if he's negligent. If I'm, you'd say, you know, watch this wallet for me, and I go and leave it in the middle of the street and get stolen, I am responsible. And so that's why here, even the shomer chinam is responsible because I left it in a public spot. Hold on. Wait a second, Rav Yosef says. You can't read it that way. See, the Baraita is giving two different cases. If you put it back in a public place where it's a good thing to do, where the owner, because the owner is likely to see it, then I'm no longer responsible. So that's one case. Case two is if it gets lost or stolen. Isn't that talking about two different cases? Otherwise, how do you explain this phrase that I'm not responsible for it, right? That means that if I put it in a public place, I'm not responsible. So how do you interpret that? And Rabbah answers, Amar le, hachav maiskinan, kegon shechezira besahoraim. Oh, the last case is talking about where I put it back in the afternoon. Meaning that if I put it back in the morning, that's what it's talking about. If I put it back in the morning, that's when there's a lot of traffic, and I know the owner is going to pass by that spot in the morning, so then I'm not responsible for it anymore, because then I can assume, indeed, the owner very soon, sometime during the morning commute, will see it and will reclaim it. That's so then I'm not responsible. However, the second clause is, if I didn't keep it in my house, but I put it in a public place in the afternoon, after most people already were walking, and there, then it's less likely that the owner will see it. Instead, someone else comes and steals it or it gets lost, then I am responsible, because that is like a shomer chinam that's negligent. And so, in fact, I can explain both cases. If I keep it in my house, I would not be liable for stealing and loss. But if I put it in public, then in the morning, it's okay. In the afternoon, not. That's how Rabbah can explain it, and that's how he elaborates right now. V'tarte katane is two laws, v'hachi katane. Hechezera shacharit makom shireno shech de'ayel v'nafik v'chazile no chayev l'tapel ba. If I put it in a public place in the morning, where I know that the owner will see it, because there's a lot of people that go in and out at that time in that place, then I'm no longer responsible for it. But if I put in the afternoon in a place in that same place, but then by that time there's not a lot of people that go back and forth, and so the owner may not see it, and then it gets stolen or lost, I am responsible level. Okay, so that is Rabbah's answer to Rav Yosef's question. But Rav Yosef now gives a second challenge against Rabbah. Le'ola iti be le'olam hu chayav ad sheichizenan l'rshuto. May le'olam lav afilu mi beto shmamina keshomer sachar dameh. Braita says that someone who is, finds a lost item is responsible until he brings it back, puts it back in the owner, until it gets back to the owner's property. Right? If I find something, I am responsible, and it adds the word le'olam. I am always responsible until I make sure it gets safe and sound back into the original or the rightful owner's property. Now, what is this word le'olam coming to add? Doesn't that mean even if it's in my house, right? I took his animal, I brought it to my house, I'm taking care of it, it gets lost and stolen, I am liable. So that means I'm like a shomer sachar, because only Shomer Sachar is liable for lost and stolen from one's home. Amale moden alach bebaalei chayim dechavan de nakte lehu nigra baraita ba'e netiduta yeterta. So Rabbah says, listen, I will agree with you that regarding an animal. So now we're assuming that this baraita is only talking about an animal. Why? Why is the animal special? Because an animal that got lost, we already see that it's walking out of its way, out of a usual path. The word baraita here usually, the word baraita means a Tannaitic tradition that is not included in the Mishnah, but that's because bar, right, it's outside of the normal. I mean, the Mishnah is giving the main tradition, the main halacha. Baraita is something that is rejected. It's out of the way, an out of the way tradition. Here means the same thing. Because this animal, how did it get lost in the first place? Why didn't it travel with the rest of the herd? Because it walked out of its path. It doesn't know. Animals are very well trained. They go from the pen to the field, to the field to the pen. They know the normal way and they follow it all the time. This one is unusual. It gets lost easily. Since the fact that it got lost means that it doesn't stay where it's supposed to, therefore it needs an extra level of safeguarding. This is not the same as if you give an item or an animal to a shomer chinam, and then if he assumes it's a normal animal and he can give just the regular amount of watching, he puts it in his house, and then he is not liable if it gets lost or stolen. But if it's a lost animal that by definition doesn't stay put where it's supposed to, so then the finder should know that he has to give a higher level of safeguarding, and therefore if he doesn't, he is responsible. So the finder of a lost animal is, in fact, even Rabbah would agree, is responsible as like a shomer sachar. But if it was not an animal, if it was just a wallet, a phone, some kind of a jar of wine, and that in those cases they don't just walk around on their own, and so in those cases, if it was lost or stolen, the finder would not be responsible like a shomer chinam. Okay, so here we have a partial agreement of Rabbah to Rav Yosef regarding animals, but he still disagrees regarding everything else. And now we turn the tables around. Iti be Rabbah Rav Yosef. Now Rabbah, who said that's a shomer chinam, is going to challenge Rav Yosef, who says shomer sachar. The pasuk says hasheb en li ela bebeto liginato lechurbato minayin tamodomar tishibem mikom makom. Here is a braita that is explaining the double language hasheb tishibem. If you find something, you shall surely return it. So why does it say two verbs? So hasheb, if I had only one verb, I would know that I, the finder, have to return it to his house. What about if I don't return it to his house, but I return it to his garden or his ruin, which is not as safe? I put it in his garden, it's open, or his ruin that he abandoned, some abandoned property that he has. Is that also considered returning, and now I'm not responsible for it anymore? Yes, because it's a double language, tishibem, which means tishibem in any way. As long as I return it, it doesn't matter. I don't have to return it to his house and make sure the door is locked behind it. I can just leave it anywhere on his property. Now we explain this. Now what kind of case is this garden and his ruin? If it's a garden that is secured, or a ruin that's secured, meaning a garden that has a fence, it's a locked gate, or it could be an abandoned property, but it has a wall around it so that nobody can trespass. Well, then, if that's the case, that would be the same as a house. You wouldn't have to include anything. What does it matter? It doesn't matter. The point of a house is that it's a secure spot. These are also secure spots. So then Tishi B'Av is not really adding anything significant. Rather, it must be that this Baraita is teaching that I can't, if I'm the finder, I can return it to even his garden that's open and not protected, or his abandoned property that's not protected. So you see that I am not responsible like a Shomer Sachar, who has a high level of responsibility, has to make sure that it is in a secure spot. I'm like a Shomer Chinam. I don't have to watch it that much, right? And if, as long as I return it, even just in some abandoned property that he has, that's considered returning. If it gets lost and stolen from there, not my problem. So this seems to prove Shomer Chinam a challenge to Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, no, I think, in fact, when it says a garden and a ruin, it's talking about a secure one. And now you asked, well, that's the same effectively as his house, because it's a secure spot. No, but still it's not the same, because this comes to add a chidush that we don't need the owner's knowledge that it was returned, which is what Rabbi Elazar said. A person's usually home. So if you require that it be returned to his home, that means you're requiring that he be aware that this item was returned. So I'm the finder. I have to go to his home, knock on the door. He sees, oh, thank you for bringing back my wallet. I'm so happy. And he acknowledges, and then I'm off the hook. But let's say I return it into a secure spot in his garden. It's a locked garden. I throw it over the gate. No one can steal it, but the owner doesn't know that I returned it. Does that count? I might think not if I only had the word Hasheb, and therefore Tishi B'Av teaches me, yeah, that's okay. As long as it's secure, it's called returning, even if the owner is not there usually and doesn't know about it. And that's what Rabbi Elazar teaches, the Demar Rabbi Elazar, HaKol Sirichin Da'at Be'alim, Chus Me'Hashabat Abeda, Sharei Ribita Torah, Hashabot Arbeh. For any other thing that I'm returning, let's say you give me something to watch, and now I'm done watching it, I return it. So I have to make sure that you are aware I have returned it. Right, here it is. I put it in the spot. You acknowledge. You have to acknowledge it and know about it. But returning a lost item, you don't have to. Why? Because the Torah uses a double language. Hasheb, Tishi B'Av, teach me I don't have to. So Rav Yosef says, I have no problem with that, Braita. But it does have to be in a secure spot. And therefore, it's a high level of responsibility if it gets stolen. If you put an unsecure spot, it gets stolen. You're responsible because like a Shomer Sachad. And that Braita is simply teaching me that I don't need that for the owner to be aware of it. Amale Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So now Abaye comes. This is Rabba's student, and he's taking over in the challenging of Rav Yosef, his teacher, and so challenges further the opinion of Rav Yosef that it's a Shomer Sachar. Ve'at atiz berat de Shomer Abeda keShomer Chinam Dame Abaye asked Rav Yosef, do you really not agree that a finder is like a Shomer Chinam? Ve'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoen Tanat Gana Be'Abeda Meshalem Tashlume Kefel, Ve'i Salka Da'atech Shomer Sachar Have, Amai Meshalem Tashlume Kefel, Karna ba'e shalume. Rav Yosef, how can you say this is a Shomer Sachar? After all, look at this halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if a finder claims that an item was stolen from him, right? This guy, he finds an item. I found your iPhone, but then while I had it in my house, a burglar came in the middle of the night and stole it. I'm sorry. But turns out that this finder was lying. He lies under oath. And in fact, he was trying to keep the phone for himself. The punishment is he has to pay not only back the value of the phone, but he has to pay double, right? Like any burglar who steals something and then is found out, he has to pay double. Now here's some background. The law of Tashlume Kefel only applies to a burglar in the night, someone who doesn't want anyone to see, because that person is worse than a robber in the day. Why? A burglar in the night, he is not afraid of God because he doesn't care to steal things, but he is afraid of mankind. He doesn't want anyone to see him. He puts a mask on, right? He'd be embarrassed. He doesn't want any confrontation. So that's worse than a thug that just comes up to you in the middle of the street and just takes your wallet. We're talking about not unarmed, right? He just doesn't care. He takes things. That person doesn't care about God. Has no fear, but it also has no fear of people either, which is in a way actually better. At least it's not as insulting to God that he thinks, oh, I don't care about God, but I care about people. This guy just doesn't care about anyone. So that's halacha in general, that only a burglar in the night has to pay double, but not a daytime thief who's out in the open. Okay, so this is significant, and we'll see in a second, that says ganav. So anyway, Rabbi Yochanan says that if a finder says, oh, it was stolen, he has to pay double. Now, if you think, Rav Yosef, that a finder is like a shomer sachad, why should he have to pay double? He's required only to pay the principal. So here's another background check. Shomer sachad, he is responsible if something gets stolen because he's getting paid to watch it. So therefore, if he comes and claims, listen, I know you gave me your animal to watch, but it was stolen. Sorry about that. Well, in that case, he has to, Shomer Sachad, no matter what, has to pay for it anyway. The animal was worth $1,000, so Shomer Sachad has to pay $1,000. So therefore, it doesn't matter if he says it was lost, it was stolen, it doesn't matter what the consequences are, the Shomer Sachad has to pay. Since the Shomer Sachad has to pay, whether or not it was stolen, if we find out that he was lying and it wasn't really stolen and he kept it, so there's no reason to give him an extra fine to pay double. So that's Shomer Sachad. Shomer Chinam, on the other hand, if he lies and says, oh, it was stolen, then he's off the hook. He doesn't have to pay anything. So he is trying to actually steal it himself, keep it for himself, and not pay anything. So if he's found to be guilty, then he deserves a fine and has to pay double. So that's the general rule. A shomer chinam who lies and says it was stolen has to pay double because he was seeking to benefit and not pay anything. But a shomer sachad who no matter what would have had to pay for the stolen item. So if he's found to be lying, he does not have to pay double. So bringing it back to this, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a finder who claims that it was lost, that it was stolen, has to pay double. That's because we're treating him as a shomer chinam. If we were treating him as a shomer sachad, he would not have to pay the double fine back. All right, seems like a very good proof against Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answers, no, we're talking about a case where the finder says that an armed robber took it from him. An armed robber is different because an armed robber, even the Shomer Sachar, does not have to pay for. Shomer Sachar is a higher level of responsibility, it's true, but Shomer Sachar doesn't have to risk giving up his life to guard something, even though he's being paid for it. So therefore, if a Shomer Sachar says, listen, an armed robber came with a knife, with a gun, and he said, give me that or I'll kill you, so that I gave it to him, Shomer Sachar is not liable to pay for it. Since he was trying to get out of paying at all, he would have had to pay zero, but he turns out he's lying and he was going to keep it for himself. If he's found out, then he does have to pay double. So that's what we're talking about in this case, that it's an armed robber. Okay, but otherwise, it isn't like a Shomer Sachad. If it was not an unarmed robber, then the finder would not have to pay double. Amale, Abayes responds back, Listim izuyan, gazlanhu. Wait a second, an armed robber is a type of robber. And Rabbi Yochanan only said his halacha in the case of ganav, which is a burglar in the night. And so you can't just say it's an armed robber because it doesn't fit with the word ganav. And in fact, if the finder claimed that it was a robber, it was a burglar in the night that came, so then he would only have to pay double if he was a shomer chinam, right? Shomer chinam would get off the hook if it in fact was a burglar in the night, and therefore, since he would have gotten off the hook and not paid anything, that's why he has to pay double. But a shomer sachar who claims that it was a ganav in the night, the shomer sachar Sachad has to pay one anyway, and therefore the Shomer Sachad would not have to pay double. And so Abaye's proof is back on the table. You cannot claim that this is a armed robber because it says Ganav, and that's different. I should say Gazlan, or at least Timizuyan, at least say Gazlan and not Ganav. It's the wrong category. But Rav Yosef answers, Amale she'ani omer listim mezuyan kevan demitamar me'inashe ganab hu. So Rav Yosef says, an armed robber, I say, because he hides from people, he has the same category, is just like a ganav. What's the similarity? A burglar in the middle of the night is not afraid of God. No, none of these people are afraid of God because they're stealing. But someone in the middle of the night is afraid of people, and that's why he goes in the middle of the night, where he won't have to confront anyone. The armed robber also is not afraid of God and is afraid of people. That's why he's bringing a knife along. He doesn't want to get into a fight with anyone. He doesn't want to start up with them, and so he brings a knife, and therefore he also has this worse status than just a regular unarmed daytime robber. An unarmed daytime robber just doesn't care about people. He goes and grabs things from people's hands, and he just doesn't care. That person, at least equal opportunity, no fear, so he does not have to pay double. But an armed robber, just like someone in the night, doesn't care about fear of God, but does care about fear of people. That makes him worse, and therefore has to pay double. So that's why, even though Rabbi Yochanan said the word ganav, but in fact an armed robber has the same status as a ganav. Abaye now follows up with a challenge against Rav Yosef of this assumption that an armed robber would have to pay double, just like a ganav, a burglar in the night, would. And the challenge is from the following braita. Lo imamata b'shomer chinam shekan mishlem tashlumei kefel, tomar b'shomer sachar she'eno mishlem tashlumei kefel. We don't know what the context of this braita is, but it is at least saying that you cannot compare fully the shomer chinam and shomer sachar, because a shomer chinam has to pay double. If he claims that it's stolen, then he would not have to pay anything at all. If he's found to be false, then the shomer chinam has to pay double. Whereas a shomer sachar does not have to pay double, because he is responsible if it gets stolen. He has to pay one in any case. And therefore, since he's not trying to get off the hook, since he would always have to pay one, so he doesn't have the fine of having to pay double if he swears falsely that it was stolen. Now, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, if you think that an armed robber has the same law as a nighttime burglar, in that they both have to pay double if they steal and they're found, so, well, then we actually have a case of a Shomer Sachar who would have to pay double if the Shomer Sachar says, oh, an armed robber took it. Now, a Shomer Sachar does not have to pay anything at all if in fact it's true that an armed robber stole it from him, because he doesn't have to give up his life. So that's a case where Shomer Sachar would, because of that claim, would not have to pay anything at all. And then if he's found to have sworn falsely, then he would have to pay double back. So if you say that an armed robber has to pay double, then there is a case of Shomer Sachar where the Shomer Sachar has to pay double. And in that case, this Braita would not be true, because this Braita says across the board that a Shomer Sachar never pays double. So Amale Rav Yosef says, now I can explain the Braita too. Hachi kamar lo imamata b'shomer chinam shekem mishlem tashlumei kefel b'chol ta'anotav tomar b'shomer sachar she'eno mishlem tashlumei kefel ela b'toen ta'anat listim mezuyan. He says, no, the Braita still makes sense to me. You just have to add in a clause. Do not compare Shomer Chinam, who pays double in any case, any time he says it was stolen, because he always is going to be off the hook for that, and therefore he has to pay double as a fine. But that is not comparable to Shomer Sachar, who does not pay double in a normal case where he says it was stolen by thieves in the night, because then he has to pay one anyway. And so he's not going to be fined if he's found to be have sworn falsely. But it's true, there is one case where Shomer Sachar has to pay double if he claims it was an armed robber. But the Baraita still makes sense. There's only one exception. There's still a fundamental difference between them, and that's what the Baraita meant. Okay, Abaye has one last challenge against the Rav Yosef regarding this listim mizuyan issue. Itibe benishpad omet enli ela shivur omet hageneva vebedaminayin. This is a baraita that's talking about a borrower. A borrower has the highest level of responsibility. I'm borrowing your animal to use it to plow, and I'm not paying you for it. I'm responsible even if it has a heart attack and dies, or it's broken. I am responsible to pay for it. So this baraita is asking, v'nishbad omet. I know about a borrower that Torah says that he is liable whether it breaks or dies. So, but I only know from there that if it breaks or dies. What about if it gets stolen or lost? Is a borrower liable? Torah doesn't say explicitly. I can learn a kavachomer if a shomer sachar who does not have to pay if it breaks or dies, right? Even if you pay me to watch your animal and then it has a heart attack and dies, I don't have to pay you. So you see, shomer sachar is lesser responsibility, and yet shomer sachar is responsible if it gets stolen or lost. So shoel, who has a higher level of responsibility in that he has to pay even if it dies or breaks, all the more so the borrower will have to pay geneva v'aveda. This is a very good kavachomer, and the Braita itself says so. Vezeu kavachomer she'en alav teshubah. This is an irrefutable kavachomer. So now look at this, that it says it's an irrefutable. Now according to you, Rav Yosef, we actually would have a refutation. If you say that an armed robber has the same status as a night burglar and has to pay double, then why are you saying that there's no possibility of a refutation of this kavachomer? You can refute it, because you could say, look, wait, the shomer sachar has a stringency that there is a case where Shomer Sachar would have to pay double when if he claims that an armed robber took it. And so this is true for Shomer Sachar. There is a case he has to pay double back, whereas a borrower never has to pay double. There is no case where a borrower would have to pay kefil. So it could be that Shomer Sachar, just like it has this stringency of paying double, so too has a stringency of geneva ve'aveda. But maybe we could not apply that to the borrower who is more lenient in that and never pays double. So you see that Rav Yosef, according to your theory, this kavachomer would not be irrefutable. Rav Yosef answers, no, the Tana of that baraita can be assuming my assumption that an armed robber is like a night burglar, and yet it would still say the kavachomer is irrefutable, because he would say that the requirement to pay a principal, no matter what, which is the borrower always has to pay a principal, without having taken a shivua to try to get out of it, he always has to pay a principal. That is a more stringent punishment than the paying double, but only after you took an oath to try to get out of the whole thing, right? So, which one is a stricter punishment? Well, that you have to pay one amount all the time, no matter what, is a stricter level than the Shomer Sachar, who, and yes, it's true, there is one case where if he tries to get it out of it by paying zero and taking a vow that it was stolen by armed robbers, and then he's found to be false, he will have to pay double. But that double is not always going to have to pay double, only in this rather unusual case, whereas the borrower always will have to pay the principal. So even if you assume this principal of Rav Yosef, the kavachomer would still stand. We end the sugya with one last potential proof for Rav Yosef. Lema mesei aleha, socher para mechaverov v'nigneba, v'amar hala, hareni meshalem v'ani nishba. V'achad kach nimsa haganab meshalem tashlome kefel la'socher. Now we're talking about a socher is a renter. He gets to use it and he pays for it. We already saw some dapim ago that there is a machloket whether a socher is like a shomer chinam or like a shomer sachar. We're going to see that that's going to come to play in a moment. Now this renter, he rents it from a cow from his friend, and a cow gets stolen. It really does get stolen. Now the renter says, I want to pay, and I don't want to swear. It sounds like an easiest reading of this baraita is talking about that the opinion that a socher is like a shomer chinam, and therefore, just like a shomer chinam could just swear and say it was stolen, and then he wouldn't have to pay. So too a socher could swear, and then he wouldn't have to pay. But a lot of times people, even if they're innocent, just don't like to make swears. It's a serious thing. Scary. And so he says, listen, I'm going to pay you for the para, and I'm not going to swear. Now, at the end, turns out that the thief was found. Okay, great. And now the thief, he has to pay double. All right, we're talking about a night burglar. And so he has to pay double. Who gets the double? The answer is the renter, because once the renter pays, even though actually he didn't even have to pay, but once he pays, so he acquires the cow. I mean, the cow's lost, but it was stolen. But he acquires the rights to the cow, the rights to collect the double payment. He's taking a risk because he might lose everything. But the risk is worthwhile in this case because since the thief was found, the double goes to the socher. Okay, now, how is this approved to Rav Yosef? Oh, we're going to interpret, the one who's bringing a proof is going to interpret this baraita to be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a socher has the same status as a shomer sachar, who is liable when something gets stolen. Generally, in most cases. So how could he say, listen, I'll pay and not take a shivua, which suggests that he could swear and not pay, right? What case would that be? Since it's like a shomer sachar, when do we see that a shomer sachar can take a vow that something was stolen and not pay? So hechi dameh, right? In what case would this be true that he says I'm going to pay and not swear, which would suggest that if he wanted to, he could swear and not pay. This would be appropriate in a case where the renter claimed that it was an armed robber. In the case of an armed robber, even a shomer sachar, and therefore according to the Biyuda also a socher, can say it was an armed robber. It's honest. I don't have to give my life to watch your item. And therefore, he would not have to pay. He could make a shivua and not pay. So that's what I was talking about. He decides, listen, instead of taking a swear, I am going to just pay one amount, and then he gets double. Now, it says after that that the whoever stole it does get double. But this is a case where we found that it was an armed robber. What can we conclude from this? That an armed robber does pay double, and that's what Rav Yosef said. An armed robber, he is not scared of God. He's not scared of other, but he is scared of other human beings. So that's like a night burglar who also pays double. So that was what Rav Yosef said. An armed robber pays double, just like a ganab. And so that would prove Rav Yosef's position. But we reject this, and we give three alternative interpretations. Amre, misavrat Rabbi Yehuda, ke Rabbi Yehuda, damar socher ke nosei sachar dame, dilma ke Rabbi Meir sevira le damar socher ke shomer chinam dame. Wait, who says that this braita is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that a socher is the same as a shomer sachar? It could be that it's actually the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says that a socher is the same as a shomer chinam. And then we could simply, it's a lot easier to read the baraita that way. simply talking about a socher who has the same status as a shomer chinam, and he says it was stolen just by a night burglar, and but I'm going to pay you anyway because I don't like swearing. And then turns out we found the guy, and he was a night burglar who pays double, and that double goes to this socher who's just like a shomer chinam. So therefore, we don't need to say it's talking about a shomer sachar at all. Or a second explanation, Rabba bar avu actually had a different version of the Braita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and switched them around. And so, because according to that version, we say socher, how does a socher have to pay? Rabbi Meir is the one that says Shomer Sachar, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Shomer Chinam. So in this case, we could say that the Braita that we brought a proof from is in fact the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says that a socher is like a Shomer Chinam. So this is effectively the same as this answer. It's just that over here, we assume that's Rabbi Meir that says socher is like Shomer Chinam, and in this version, we assume Rabbi Yehuda is like Shomer Chinam. Either way, this Braita is not talking about a socher being like a shomer sachad, and therefore there is no proof. Or last response to show that there's no proof here for Rav Yosef, Rabbi Zera Amar, Hacha b'maiskinan b'toen tanat listim mezuyan v'nimsa listim she'eno mezuyan. Rabbi Zera says it could be talking about a case where it's a socher, and we're following the socher is like a shomer sachar, and he claims that it was stolen by an armed robber. Since it was stolen by an armed robber, he could have sworn and not paid. He decides he's going to pay and not swear. But when we actually find the guy, the thief, turns out he was not armed. He's a night burglar. And that's why he has to pay double, not because an armed robber, if it was really an armed robber, he wouldn't have to pay double, not against Rav Yosef. But it turns out he was a night robber, unarmed, and that's why he has to pay double. And that double goes to the socher, because the socher decided to pay the principal, even though he didn't have to. And so these are all three ways of explaining this braita, not according to the assumption of Rav Yosef that an armed robber is like a ganav. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen.